Good afternoon, everybody. This is Kate VandenBosch, and I'm going to hand it over to Steve Van Landen to MC our call. We've got quite an agenda here. So Steve, I hope you have the instructions for unmuting yourself. And also just to remind all participants that there are options to in the invitation to submit questions if you would like. Steve?
All right, I had the instructions. I just wasn't using it right. Sorry about that.
Okay, good. That sounds good.
Operator error. Well, good afternoon, good morning, everyone, depending on what time zone you're in. I'm Steve Van Landen with American Foods Group. Been involved with this project for longer than I would like to say, right? But many of us know how long this process has been. I'm fortunate to now be the chair of the Meat Science Animal Biologics Discovery Advisory Committee at a time that we're actually going to open the doors in this facility. So it's an exciting time. Appreciate everyone taking the time today to join us in this update call. As you probably heard, this call is being recorded so that it can be shared with other interested folks that couldn't join us today. Today you're going to hear from Kate VandenBosch, Dean of the College of Ag and Life Sciences. We're also going to get a building update from David Darling, Associate Vice Chancellor of Facilities and Planning Management. Dan Schaefer is also the Faculty Director of Meat Science Animal Biologics Discovery. Will be giving us an update on some new hires and other program updates. As of earlier this morning, we didn't have any questions submitted, but I'll remind you that if you go to the website, we're only going to be able to take questions online. That website is GoWisc EDU Meat Science. That's GoWisc.edu/meat science. With that, I will turn it over to David Darling, as I said, Associate Vice Chancellor of Facilities Planning. He leads the UW-Madison department responsible for building remodeling projects. In his role, he works closely with UW system officials, as well as the State Department administration on all capital projects, which obviously included this new Meat Science building. So with that, I will turn it over to you, David.
Thank you for that introduction. And it's my pleasure today to give you an update on the construction of this amazing new building. The Meat Science and Animal Biologics Discovery Building is an excellent project, and it has been an excellent partnership. When completed, it will be a modern meat processing facility and research facility that will make our university, state, and meat industry proud, and I believe it will give us a tremendous competitive advantage. We understand how important it is to invest in and expand this expanded vision for meat science, and this includes animal biologics research, education, and outreach at UW-Madison. Our meat science program has worked to improve meat safety and quality for the past 70 years. With this project, we're looking forward to continuing and expanding that work, and I believe this will provide us decades of capability through this resource. We're committed to supporting an industry that contributes so much to Wisconsin's economy. It's estimated to be $12 billion a year and 88,000 jobs across the state. We believe this facility will help attract top talent to the university and to the affiliated meat industries throughout Wisconsin. As many of you have already heard, we've hit a few bumps in the road in this construction progress as we've gotten close to the final delivery. We will continue to work hard to put the final finishing touches on this complex and unique project. We had planned to have the opening of this building on September the 12th, but we've discovered that additional planning and engineering is going to be needed in order to deliver some of the more complex components of the facility. The non-processing spaces are set to be completed by the end of the calendar year, and this will include the offices, the conference rooms, the classrooms, the public spaces, the retail store, individual labs on the second floor. And this is really great news. I've toured these spaces They're really beautiful state-of-the-art rooms that are going to give us years and years of beneficial service. The inspected processing space remains incomplete. Three major elements of this part of the facility have presented particular challenges. There are challenges in the coordination and design of the infrastructure needed to accommodate donor-supplied equipment. The carcass rail and the associated lift mechanisms that allows this processing facility to process various size carcasses needs some additional design and work. And the scale and the holding pen systems for weighing and incoming receiving of animals also needs some additional design and rework. This additional design is needed to complete the construction of these systems, all of which will have to be flexible to accommodate more types of animals than would be typical in a commercial plant, because many of these small-scale research projects will include various size animals within this plant. UW-Madison is working very closely with UW-System, which is the state agency of record for all UW projects, and with the State of Department of Administration, which holds the contracts and manages all construction projects for the state of Wisconsin, to further outline the scope of work that's remaining and identify the funding sources needed to complete this work. These final phases and funding will require approval both by the Board of Regents and then by the State Building Commission. We hope to go before each of these bodies in December. And once we've completed these approvals, we can then more clearly outline the specific schedule and completion for move-in. Because of these changes and design that are required, we don't expect the processing facility to be completed until approximately the spring semester of 2020. The current processing facility in the Meat and Muscle Biology Building will remain operational until the new plant is complete. This is an extremely complex project because its functions, it functions both as an inspected food processing facility, also requiring the flexibility and technical capability of a research laboratory. Many factors have changed throughout the years of initial study through construction, including an increasingly tight labor market and increases in cost of equipment and materials. We are committed to this project with our partners, both in industry, at the state, and with UW-System, to completing this USDA inspected part of the building as quickly as we can for the benefit of the state. Thank you.
David, this is Kate, and I just had one question. I think that there was one slight inaccuracy there. You said you don't expect the processing plant to be available until spring semester of 2020. Of course, that's next semester. I think we do not expect it to be available for teaching research in spring semester of 2020, and we don't yet know the completion date. Can you verify that? Are you still on the phone, David?
Yes, Kate, I'm sorry. I misspoke. That's correct. We don't expect it to be ready in the spring of 2020. It's undetermined the exact date, but we believe it can be delivered within the calendar year 2020, not specific on the date.
Thank you.
All right, this is Dan Schaefer. I would like to give you a little bit of update with regards to staff and faculty that have been hired into the program that will occupy the new building. By the way, the information that I'm going to refer to is also available in part at our website. One could reach our program website by Googling the words UW-Madison Meat Science, and the first item will be the program website for that has some of the information that I will be mentioning. So we've been fortunate in order to make in being able to make two new staff hires. One of them is Dylan Walker, who was hired and began on June 24th as our meat plant operations manager. Some of his biographical information is available on the website. We've also been successful in hiring a retail operations manager whose name is Mitch Munson. He began his position on August 24th. In his position, he will oversee the present store retail operations, which is called Bucky's Butchery, but he will be ramping up that program to occupy the new retail store in the new building, which will be called Bucky's Varsity Meats. Our current store will remain open, as David Darling said, and but with some expanded hours as we ramp up the program there. We've also been successful in hiring two new faculty members into the program. One of those faculty members is Wei Guo. He will begin in January 2020. He is a 2004 PhD. After that, he was a postdoc here on campus until 2013 when he began a faculty position at the University of Wyoming. He's leaving the University of Wyoming now to come to UW-Madison, so he is a veteran scientist, a veteran faculty member. He is a grant holder of a very nice American Heart Association grant. He was hired to build our program in animal biologics discovery, but he also gives us a presence in the field of muscle biology. Vanessa Leone is our second hire. She will begin her faculty appointment as an assistant professor here in April of 2020. She finished her PhD degree in 2009 in Mark Cook's laboratory and has been at the University of Chicago since that time in the Department of Medicine and the specialty of gastroenterology. The focus of her research program is at the microbiome gut mucosa interface. We believe the gut mucosa is a fertile area, a fertile focus for animal biologics discovery. She is a holder of an NIH K1 grant. Both Vanessa and Wei will be our pillars upon which we will build this animal biologics discovery program. They will be engaged in that program themselves and also be involved in expanding the access and the promotion of this program to the host of biological scientists which we have on this campus. We have an ongoing search that is somewhat related to this program. It is an animal welfare faculty position search. The fourth candidate who is interviewing for that position is finishing her interview on campus today. So that process is moving along. As many of you may know, some of you not, but I will be retiring on December 30th of 2019. Dean VandenBosch will have some comment for you with regards to plans for filling my role with a successor as interim director and director of the program.
Thanks, Dan, for those comments and the update. And I also want to thank you for serving in this role as the inaugural director for the Meat Science and Animal Biologics Discovery Program. You've really contributed a lot during this period of time. So as Dan alluded to, we have a search on for a new director. And after much discussion, we decided we wanted to cast a broad net to get the best leadership, which means that our search will enable us to hire either a new faculty member who would be director or an outstanding academic staff, someone who may have a lot of industry experience but not faculty background. So we're going to be running, in essence, two searches in parallel, although one director will be hired. And those positions are expected to be posted early next week. So things are moving along nicely. However, here we are almost at the end of September, and Dan, as you just heard, will be departing his role at the end of December. And so we think it's unlikely that the new director will be in place before Dan's exit. And so I am working with Kent Weigel, who is the chair of Animal Sciences, the department chair, to identify an interim candidate to serve until the new director is on board. So we'll have a little bit of bridging there. And as we have news on these appointments, we will share those with you so that you can help to welcome first the new interim director and then the permanent director once that person is hired. So I'm going to now turn it back over to Dan for some additional updates about the programming in the MSABD.
Thank you, Kate. Yes, it's my pleasure to give you some updates on activities that and developments that are occurring in the program. By way of introduction, I just would like to remind our listeners that there are, of course, three overarching themes to this program. They are research, teaching, and extension slash outreach activities. But more specifically, the three program themes are as follows. One program theme is MEET, that is, all processes and procedures involved in the conversion from a live animal to a ready-to-eat product. The second program theme is animal biologics discovery. This is the intent to extract molecules or tissues that are from the animal harvest side stream that can be repurposed for higher value uses in animal or human health. And the third theme of the program is meat product safety. With regards to that portion of the program, we have built a biosafety level 2 laboratory that can do all the steps involved in making a meat product, plus the microbiology associated with that, and in a space where we can safely handle the common biosafety level 2 pathogens that are involved in meat products, like Listeria, monocytogenes, and Salmonella, and E. coli, and Staphylococcus. So those are the three program themes within that will occur in the new building. In terms of some additional update information, the teaching in the program continues in the existing meat science and muscle biology laboratory. Jim Claus, Professor Jim Claus, is teaching Animal Science 515, which is called Commercial Meat Processing, to 20 undergraduates and a few graduate students in the fall semester. Mark Richards is teaching the Chemistry of Food Lipids, an Animal Science Food Science 710 course to about a dozen graduate students. We are anticipating the creation of a new animal biologics course in the curriculum as we get these new faculty members on board and move into the new building. And of course, given Wei Guo's addition to the faculty, we will again be able to offer a muscle biochemistry course, a course which we have not been able to offer since the retirement of Marion Greaser a few years ago. In terms of outreach activities, Jeff Sindelar and Kathy Glass held a food safety and meat microbiology short course this past Tuesday and Wednesday here on campus. We are in the program preparing to make our presence known in a booth at the Process Expo in Chicago on October 8th to 11th. And Jeff and Kathy will be involved in hosting a USDA FSIS Food Safety Summit on November 7th here on campus. One of the other activities that occurs in this program is the Wisconsin Meat Industry Hall of Fame. Rochelle Schnad is taking my place as a member of that committee, and she will chair that Meat Industry Hall of Fame committee going forward, which will result in the 2020 class of inductees. The nominations for that activity for the nominations for induction into the Meat Industry Hall of Fame will be due on November 1st. Then I wish to say a little bit about a slightly broader context, that is the departmental merger which is occurring between the animal sciences and dairy science departments. This merger, we were asked in the departments by Dean Vandenbosch to consider this merger about a year and a half or two ago. We have undertaken this consideration with purpose, and so those conversations have been occurring over the past year and a half. As of August, we determined that the proposed name of the new department will be Animal and Dairy Sciences. There is a summary of the merger process and the consequences of the merger activity that is being prepared. That summary will be distributed to stakeholders so that we can solicit input with regards to this merger. The eventual proposal for merging will go then to the CALS Academic Planning Council and from there to the University Academic Planning Council for further consideration by the university and formal approval by those bodies. If all goes well, we expect this merger to take effect in fall of 2020. The merger is really occurring because there are a number of us that were hired in the 80s, in the 1980s, who are exiting our faculty positions. And so given this rather extensive turnover that's occurring in both departments, and the opportunities created by greater cross-fertilization within these departments warrant this merger consideration. There will be good things that have come and will further come from this merger process, but there will be also some additional information distributed with that in that regard. The undergraduate majors will remain unchanged, and the graduate programs will remain as is, even though we will have a merged administrative operation. We're going to continue to prepare and educate students for careers in the dairy and meat industries, in animal biosciences, and in animal systems management. There have been a lot of changes occurring in the Division of Extension. Extension is now a component of UW-Madison, and Jeff Sindelar, from this program's perspective, is our faculty representative in the Division of Extension, but there is other good activity occurring within Extension that has positive implications for this program. The other component I want to mention here is that over the course of the last year, we've really made nice progress in our definition of methods whereby we will work with industry. So we now have agreements that are called service agreements that will cover fee for service activity and facility use activities by companies whom we will be soliciting to do projects within the new building. We also have, of course, longstanding templates for research agreements. But these kinds of agreements can now be set up for durations of 3 years for the purpose of expediting their approval and then minimizing the administrative effort required for subsequent projects once a company has engaged with us initially. So I think that this program recognizes the importance of the private sector in conducting projects in this building. The private sector has been vitally important in getting the funding and approval for this project. And I think that our university procedures for that engagement have advanced in the last year. So this is all to say that that the teaching, research, and extension, and then the project work that will be fee-for-service or facility use in nature are all coming along as we prepare to occupy the new building. Dean Vandenbosch, that's what I have for an update.
Great. I think we can hand it back to Steve Van Lannen, and then after that, Steve, we've fielded a couple of questions here, and we can answer those.
Excellent. Excellent. So, Dan, Dave, Dean Vandenbosch, really appreciate the updates. We've covered a lot of ground here in 25 minutes. Exciting. I think anybody that's seen the building, you can certainly go online to see the updates to the facility. It doesn't disappoint. It's really beyond expectations. So, and everyone that's toured it has felt the same way. And as you've heard from the, we've already got new faculty joining, expanding programming. This is the potential that we thought we had with a facility like this on a campus like the University of Wisconsin. So it's, while we didn't have a grand opening yet, there's a lot happening that's very exciting and achieving some of our goals. I think that's a credit to certainly everybody that's on this call, but certainly the support from the donors, everyone that's supported the programming, the university, the building. All your partnerships have made this possible. So we'll look forward to 2020 actually having a celebration in that building. But in the meantime, there's work being done and progress being made. So with that, we're fortunate to have an opportunity here to ask some questions. I guess I'll start it off with Dean Vandenbosch or Dan. How do you see the new meat animal biologics discovery program fitting in with the new animal and dairy science combined department?
Well, I think we both might want to take a stab at that. It became clear to me pretty early in my deanship that this was a major undertaking for us to build this building and to bring the vision to life that so many have contributed to it, and therefore that it had to be a priority not just for the department but for the college overall. And we're really keeping that in mind as we think about the faculty hires that we make, the effort that we expend, and the other resources that we're bringing to bear. I think Dan may think especially about what the implications for the department, but it goes beyond the department too, because we want to make sure that colleagues inside the college, for example, the Food Research Institute already tangentially referred to, Babcock Hall and everything we do in dairy foods and biosystems engineering, other fields, but there is opportunity for interacting also with the College of Engineering, the School of Medicine and Public Health, possibly the School of Pharmacy, and probably units I'm not thinking of. This will really enable us to contribute, to collaborate much more broadly across campus than we have today. Dan, what else would you say?
I would add to that that this building puts a fresh face on career paths involving the meat industry, and for that matter, food and meat product microbiology and safety. We just had the campus-wide careers fair earlier this week, and so we provided tours to companies that came for the career fair. Clearly, we know that companies are looking for young people. And really the reaction of those from the companies who toured this building was very favorable in terms of the kinds of experiences that we can offer to those students and what that means for the employability of those students. The student workforce will be important in this building. We anticipate that whereas now we have 12 or 15 students employed, we will have upwards of 40 students employed in the new building. So there will be students who come into this building to get it for the purpose of earning some money, and then we will open their eyes to the fact that, my gosh, there is science and engineering occurring here, and then we can readily inform them that there are jobs and there are internships associated with this program. So we will be able to fulfill one of the early envisioned expectations for this program, which is to be a human resource supplier to the industry which needs these young people. In addition to the units which Dean Vandenbosch mentioned, I'll add the School of Veterinary Medicine. So the School of Veterinary Medicine will interface with us. At least I have been over there to speak to their associate dean in charge of academic programs, because as an accredited School of Veterinary Medicine, they must teach something about animal harvest and inspection post-harvest. So we would certainly welcome the School of Veterinary Medicine coming into this building with their students for the purpose of giving them a realistic exposure to the harvest process and the post-harvest inspection, which offers so many job opportunities to veterinarians. So the impact of the building, again, will be within the department, and then it will certainly be beyond the department. I have nice communications with the School of Medicine and Public Health, and there's much to be added through contact with the College of Engineering. We have a great ally over in the School of Pharmacy, and then there is an opportunity for us to get over to the School of Business and do things with the School of Business. I don't think Rochelle and I were discussing earlier today that we've made a lot of progress on many fronts in this program, but yet there's much left to be done.
Well, excellent. And Dan and Dean Vandenbosch, I was going to do a follow-up question about beyond this department and beyond CALS, and you led right into that. I mean, one of the visions of this advisory committee long ago was, to be the go-to place on the planet for biologics discovery. You've certainly, we started to fill some faculty positions there, but The other advantage we thought with this university and this location was to be able to bring other colleges and other schools into this for research. So you answered that very well. Dean VandenBosch, I understand we have some other questions you need to address?
That's right. We've got two questions that we've received over the web, and they're related. The first one is, can the complexity of the animal harvest operation be decoupled from the rest of the processing rooms such that those can be opened sooner? And the wisdom in the room is that they probably can't be completely decoupled. It'll depend on what work relies on carcasses that are harvested in the old lab, or materials that can be brought in rather than harvested in the new site. Of course, there may be some USDA implications. And the thought is that the BSL-2 lab can probably be decoupled from the harvest facility with materials that are brought in. Dan, anything to add there?
Just really the same path that you're on. It's possible that the BSL-2 lab would be turned over for UW occupancy earlier and be fully functional. With regards to the USDA space, I don't think there are some implications there that it just sort of span the USDA space, and the hydraulic plant is one of those. So I think that we will not be partially occupying the USDA space. It won't be occupied until it's all available for process commissioning.
Dan, this other question is related, and maybe you've already answered it, but let me just put it out there and see if you or David have anything to add. Does this mean that all areas of the facility will not be accessible for product tests until the grand opening, or are there intermediate stages where the lab might be available?
Oh, well, first of all, the old meat lab is still open, and projects can be conducted in the old meat lab, though we don't have the full range of capability that will exist in the new building. But we're still open for projects in the old meat lab. With regards to the question, I would say that it's not really possible for us to do projects in the USDA inspected space until it's completely turned over to the UW for occupancy and that process commissioning has occurred. So there are some timetables associated with warranties that require that we be quite diligent once we get occupancy. We must then explore the functionality of the equipment and the systems and get that done within a specified timetable. So I just feel like we can't be partial in the USDA space.
Yeah.
This is Dick Straub. Can I ask a question, Dan? Isn't it possible to do some testing in the labs that exist in the building if you're working with product? It would come in from material harvested at the old lab and brought in for test purposes?
Well, as long as we're not expecting anything to pass through the USDA inspected space, it's possible that we can move materials from the old building to the new building. However, if our program is in two spaces, there's some awkwardness associated with that. So probably the best answer is that we'll let you know when we get a little closer to reality here. Right now, it's a little bit tricky to know the nuances of this occupancy.
David, do you have anything to add?
Well, I've been listening carefully, and I would concur with the discussion that's been had. In addition to the complexity of partially occupying, there will also have to be ongoing construction activities, and the proximity of the necessary construction activities to the potentially partially occupied space could create scheduling, dust, and noise issues that we would have to move very cautiously through. And so I think the best answer is that we are working very diligently to try to make this facility ready as soon as possible, in as complete a possible form, and we will, understanding the pressure, we will do the very best we can to provide as much occupancy as we can that makes reasonable sense.
Great. Thank you for that clarification. At this point, those are all the questions that we've received. So I want to thank everyone for calling in and for participating and for your support. And we're going to look forward, all of us here on the campus are looking forward to your continued participation in our new and expanding programs. And of course, when we can all celebrate the opening of the building. You can always learn the latest program news on the website, which is meetsciences.cals.wisc.edu. And thank you again for your participation. That ends the call. Thank you.